Thank you, Barbara. Well, it's Pentecost. That's great. We'll all have a bash. We'll hear the same readings, sing some exciting songs, get fired up, and then, good, that's got that over for until next year. We can forget all about it. We've done our thing. That's what it's all about. It's a church celebration. It's like Easter. It's like Christmas. Any of the other celebrations that we have. Okay? No? Well, what is it all about? Obviously, something happened. It was important. And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, says, "Let me explain." So we're going to look at some of this, but I'm also going to add a few extra verses which would have made the reading too long. What you have heard is when he says, "This is what is spoken by the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people, my servants, men and women, ordinary people, like you and me." Later on, when the people realize just what they have done to Jesus, it says they were cut to the heart and said, "What must we do?" So these are the verses that I'm coming to following this. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, for people far away, for everyone whom the Lord our God shall call." So I just want to unpack those three points, really, about what do we do? Repent and be baptized. Two, you will receive power. We will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And three, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So those are the three things. I just want to unpack those. It's a great shame that so often we leave the Bible, we don't read the Bible. And why were those things written down? Why were they written down? Why is they available to you and me today? It's because it's important. It's not a matter of opinion. Luke is recording an historical event. We need to remember that. But then why did he bother? Was it just an historical event with no meaning? No. It's an historical event that was recorded so that you and I might know, and that the meaning of it may affect us too. It's not just a theological point. It's supposed to change the way that we think, the way we understand, the way we believe, and the way that we act. So the first point is, once we recognize what we're into, as those Jews did, they need to repent and be baptized. What does that mean? These are theological words. Repent. There's a new thing. You can see programs on the television like "Turn Your Life Around." That's one, isn't it, now? Turn your life around. Make things different. Well, that's what repentance is. Turn your life around. The old term we used to use was convert, which is to turn around, face the other way, think differently. Another word that's used in Romans is be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Think differently. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the word is repentance. So it's a change of attitude and understanding. What is baptism? Is it just a ceremony? No. Baptism is about you bury the old life. One of the symbols is you are being buried. Your old life has died. Your dead life is buried, and you will be raised with Christ. So you bury the old life when you become Jesus' disciples. So it's not just a cozy club that you join by going through a ceremony and then carry on as normal, which is sadly what tends to happen so often if we don't preach and teach properly what is meant by repentance and baptism. They become meaningless ceremonies. You might have a piece of paper. You might have a very nice one, an embossed design with beautiful pictures of Jesus carrying a lamb or something like that. So you have been baptized. But has it changed your life? This is not a cozy club. Jesus is calling us to lifelong discipleship. He says, count the cost. Don't rush into it. Think it through. And then make your commitment and make it stick. You see, you cannot be a fruitful disciple if you carry on with worldly aims and ambitions. Look at the parable of the sower. The seed that was sown was all good seed. Every seed had the full potential of fruit. So what gave the different outcomes? It was where the seed went. It was how we receive. Whether it's our hearts are so hard that the seed bounces off and is gathered away. Was it where our hearts are shallow, where things spring up and we get all excited, but there's no root, there's no commitment, and so there's no fruit, and the life withers away? But then far more likely for you and me is it falls in among the thorns. There's good soil, but it's full of other things that get in the way. And so you don't bear the fruit. And then please God, for some of more of us, will be that good soil that perseveres and brings the fruit. What's the difference? Same seed, it's what we do with it. Now, of course, we all know that the devil is implacably opposed to the kingdom of God by every means. And we see the whole spectrum around us as outright denial. You don't need that. That's not true. How do you know that's true? There are doubts. Oh my goodness, what have I done? Or there's misinformation, something that looks like to distract us but is actually not the real thing. Or there's fear. Well, if you go down that road, you know what will happen? Or will it? And there's confusion. And of course, one of the best things that Satan absolutely loves, particularly in the church, is controversy. Get us all arguing over doctrine. Or more likely these days, get us arguing over worship style. Music's a great one for dividing congregations. But you see, it's diverting us from the main thing. And as in Jesus' day, sadly, there's opposition even from within religious groups. And we see that. If you don't do things their way, or they don't understand what's happening. In Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees, the traditionalists, or the Sadducees, the sort of the secularists, the politicians, or it was the scribes who were so legalistic about everything. These people were religious people, but they failed to see the kingdom of God being demonstrated in Jesus' miracles and teaching. They missed the point completely. They were so hung up on their way of looking at things, and Jesus didn't fit their narrow views. And so they missed it. They couldn't read the signs of the times. That was then. But the same things can happen today. With restricted theological views, that somehow they haven't got a context for some of the things that God does, so we just don't see it. And there's a warning for whole churches in the scriptures, because whole churches can be distracted from the work of Jesus. We can lose, in Revelation we read about the church in Ephesus, where Jesus says, you've lost your first love. It's so easy, it just happens. Or in Laodicea, where he says, you are more dead than alive. You think you're doing well, but actually you're in serious trouble. So churches can get distracted. I hesitate, but I'm going to mention this anyway because it's so fascinating. In the 13th century, St. Thomas Aquinas visited the Vatican. And Pope Innocent IV was busy showing him all the Vatican's treasures and richness. And he said to Aquinas, you see, the church is no longer in an age where she can say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas said, it's true. Nor can she say to the lame man, rise up and walk. They'd missed the point. I'm not having a go at any particular denomination, and that was hundreds of years ago, but you see my point. We can lose our way. It's a matter, great phrase we keep saying, of keeping the main thing, the main thing. Don't get diverted. Another preacher was recorded as saying, most people repent just enough to get into the kingdom, to get over the line, but they don't repent enough to see the kingdom. In other words, you're in, but you're not doing anything. Most Christians repent just enough to get into the kingdom, but not enough to see the kingdom at work, to make it happen. It's the working out that makes the difference. Well, God's promise is that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's important, this, that word, gift. What do you do with a gift? It's not a reward. It's not a standard you've achieved. It's not a deserved thing. With a gift, all you have to do is receive it and use it. It's not a badge to wear. It is power to live and serve God effectively. If we repent, if we give our lives to the Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit. And who's it for? Everyone. It's for you, your children, those who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God shall call. What was that prophecy saying? It was saying it wasn't just for that group of people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It was for them, and it was for those who would believe on, and they would go all over the world, right here to Britain and everywhere else. Same things apply. Why do we make things so complicated? God's gift. And that gift is power to serve, to be witnesses of Jesus to the world. So what does that look like for you and me? When we go about in our daily business, in our neighbourhoods, our families, our work, wherever, if we take God's presence with us to be a blessing. That's what it's for. How are we a blessing? Jesus says, you are light. You are yeast. You are salt. To be light, to show the better way. To shine for Jesus where we are. To be yeast. Yeast changes things. It makes dough rise. We are there to, where we are, to influence things around us for the better. We're to be salt, to carry that distinctive flavour of Jesus wherever we go. That's it. To be light, yeast and salt, to work. What really blesses Jesus is when we are doing the stuff of the kingdom. There's one place in Scripture Luke 10, where Jesus is specifically recorded as being full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Full of joy. Absolutely ecstatic. When was that? He says, "Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure." When was that? It was when the disciples returned from their mission. They went out uncertain. They went out in obedience. They went out in the faith they had. They came back rejoicing because of what they had seen and done. That's when Jesus rejoiced. It's when we're doing the stuff that brings him gladness. Because that's the mission of the church. That is his mission to the world that we have been entrusted with. So Jesus didn't call us to be a cozy group, just being comfortable and self-pleasing. He sends us out to work for him. So let's bring us back to these 3 points. Pentecost fulfilled God's promise to pour out the Holy Spirit. Repentance and commitment are the keys for our discipleship. And if you've committed your life to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You are born again of the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live and testify about Jesus. And the problem is that most of us so often exclude ourselves from God's promises. We think it's all for somebody else. But it's not for somebody else. It's for you. If you love Jesus, this is for you. He will sustain us. He will equip us to serve him. And what I'm talking about, this is not a new ism. It's not a worship style. It's not a ministry style. This is biblical Christianity. This is at the heart of what we do. Let God be God in our lives. And we get all sorts of ideas, don't we? Because we're a mixed bunch, you know? We're all different. We're different takes, different personalities, different reactions. And we look around and we think, well, I don't fit that. Well, no, maybe you don't. But it depends what you think you're fitting. Because we are all different. So you don't need to become somebody different. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you could just quietly glow. But you might go leaping about. But that's your reaction. There's no rules about this. You don't need to pump up spiritual passion. You don't need to act weird, being full of the Holy Spirit, to become prophetic. You might, but that's not the norm. God will not zap you. This is a lot of people's fear. Somehow, the Holy Spirit will come, and you will turn into a gibbering charismaniac. No. You might get excited, you might bounce around a bit. Okay, that's wonderful, but you may not. The important thing is that God will enable you to be the person he created you to be the real true self, not to be something else. The challenge of this Sunday, of this morning, is to receive more. Not just to remember, but to receive more. To be open to the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Jesus wants us to receive more of him. So let's not exclude ourselves. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us? Let's just be quiet for a few moments.